Yes, he is. Amen. Turn your Bible to Genesis chapter number 40, if you would. Genesis chapter 40. We're going to read three verses there, and then the first verse of, four verses there actually, and then the first verse of Genesis chapter number 41. So when you find Genesis chapter 40, please stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 40. And we're going to read verses 13, 14, 15. Then we're going to go down, read verse number 23, and we'll finish on Genesis 41, 1. So I'll direct you as we go through there. Let's start with verse 13, 14, and 15, Genesis chapter 40. Let's read all three of these verses out loud in unison, beginning in verse number 13. Ready? Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Now look down to verse number 23. Let's read that out loud together. Ready? Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And then chapter 41, verse number 1. Ready? And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. We'll have a special, and then the message. You may be seated. Bless his holy name. God is good all the time. And all the time. God is good all the time. Even here in Genesis chapter number 40 and 41, God was still good. I mean, Joseph, he interpreted the dream of the butler, and he said, look, when you get back into position, be kind to me, remember me, and mention my name to Pharaoh, if you would, please, because I don't deserve to be here. I was stolen away from my home country and sold as a slave, undeserving. And just show kindness and let Pharaoh know that I'm here. Ask him if he'll grant me a kingly pardon. And the butler forgot. 2 years later, Joseph has been sitting in prison, innocent man, for 730 more days, 17,520 more hours, 1,051,200 more minutes. He has sat there in the jail, remained in the jail, remained in the dungeon, and in captivity. Why? God's timing isn't our timing. Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Amen. That's the title of this morning's message. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Romans 11:33 tells us, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. His ways aren't our ways. We can't understand God's thoughts because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Job 11:7 says, canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? We may be able, by God giving us wisdom, to understand a little bit of what he does and why he does it, but we can't perfectly understand all the reasons God does something. We won't know that until we get to heaven. Right. Ecclesiastes 8:17, Solomon said, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. As wise as Solomon was, he did not perfectly understand all that God has done and why God has done it. Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Why did God let an innocent man sit in prison for 2 more years? Number one, it's what was best for God's plan. Number two, it's what was best for Joseph. How could being in prison help Joseph? What would have happened if the butler had remembered Joseph right away? If Pharaoh had released Joseph, where would he have gone? Back home. And he would have died 14 years later with his family in the famine. What sounds better, 2 years of unnecessary prison in your mind, followed by 80 years of blessing and provision as second unto Pharaoh, dying at 110 years of age, or 3 days more of prison and death by famine 14 years later? Well, actually, plus two would be 16 years later. What sounds better to you? Death by famine in 16 years? Or 2 unnecessary, in your mind, years of prison and 80 years of blessing? I'll take the first. And Joseph, if he had the choice, would take the first 2. And looking back on his life, if he went back, he'd say, yeah, I would have sat in prison 2 more. Now that I look back, I see why God was doing that. And a lot of times in our life, it's looking back that we see more of God's plan than trying to look ahead. God knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing when he told Noah to build an ark. God knew what he was doing when he told Abraham to leave everyone he ever knew, including his family, and travel to a land he had never been before. God knew what he was doing waiting until Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 before they had their child Isaac. God knew what he was doing, sending Joseph down into Egypt as a slave, using Joseph's brother's envy. You know, does other people's sin affect us? You bet. Does other people's bad choices affect us? Unfortunately, yes. But just let God, Romans 8:28 it. God knew what he was doing, having Moses being found in the Nile River by Pharaoh's daughter. God knew what he was doing when he called Gideon, hiding behind the winepress, threshing some wheat. Hey, God knew what he was doing, anointing a shepherd boy as the future king of his people. God knew what he was doing when he called Elijah and Elisha. And God knew what he was doing when he called you. Jeremiah 1:4-5, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, I formed thee in the belly, and before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. You know, God knew your name before you were even born. He knew who you were while you were inside your mother's womb, which is one reason why these ladies who take their babies' lives in abortion are killing a human being that God already knows and knows their name. God knew your name. And he says to Jeremiah, before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And Jude 1:1 said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. You've been called by God this morning. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Something we get to be called because we're called is the sons of God. We get to be children of the King. We get to be adopted into God's family when we believe in him and accept his son's sacrifice of dying on the cross for our sins. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God has called you this morning to glory, and God has called you this morning to virtue. Called to glory, Revelations 19:9, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. After that you suffer for a while. Unfortunately, on earth, there is suffering. A great percentage, if not everyone in this room, has suffered something this last week. Whether it was emotionally, whether it was physically, whether it was mentally, whether it was a spiritual attack from the devil, you suffered something this last week. This life is full of suffering. Don't think that when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, all your problems are going to end, because that doesn't happen until we get to go to heaven. But one day the problems will all end. But look, you've been called to serve the Lord despite the suffering. You've been called to stay with God and do what's right, even though there is suffering. Hey, you might even end up in innocent and in prison and sitting there and say, God, I don't know what you're doing here. I shouldn't be here. You're supposed to be my Heavenly Father. Get me out of here. I wonder if Joseph ever prayed those prayers in the prison, saying, God, what are you doing? Or maybe he said, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know your way is perfect, so whatever it is, you know the big picture and I don't. Maybe that's how he prayed. That's how we should pray. God, I don't know why I'm suffering this. I don't know why this is in my life. I don't know why I'm going through this, but God, you know. And God, whatever reason this suffering is for, may be used for your glory, may be used to honor you, may be used to lift you up. I'm glad Joseph stayed in prison for 2 more years. And looking back, I bet he was too. But when you're in the midst of the storm and in the midst of prison, it's hard to be still and know that he is God. When you're in the midst of that trouble and the trial, it's hard to relax and try to let go of solving the problem and giving it to him. But that's what we must do. We're also called to virtue. Virtue is the radical sense, the radical strength sense of virtue, the definition is strength. From straining, stretching, extending. Strength, that substance or quality of physical bodies by which they act and produce effects on other bodies. In this literal and proper sense, we speak of the virtue or virtues of plants in medicine. So you can get virtue, something good from medicine, from plants to be used as medicine to heal others. And let me just say, you're called to virtue, and that is to live right and to walk right and to talk right and to live right and have God emanate from you so that other people can be healed from the virtue God has placed inside of you through salvation. You are a walking spiritual doctor. Also, virtue is bravery and valor. To have virtue is to be brave and to have valor. Virtue also means moral goodness, the practice of moral duties and the abstaining from vice or conformity of life and conversation to the moral law. We have been called by God, Christian. You've been called by God to virtue and to glory. 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto the kingdom and glory. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And let me just say, unto the church of God which is at Sealands Grove, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. You're called this morning. You say, I'm not Jeremiah. I wasn't a prophet, so God didn't know me in my mother's womb and ordained me to do this and this and that. I beg to differ. God did know you in your mother's womb. Let me just say, you're sitting here this morning because you were called and you answered the call. You're called this morning to serve God. Whether it's behind the pulpit, whether it's sitting in a pew, whether it's driving a bus, whether it's working hard at your job and being a good testimony so that when your boss gets cancer, you can be a witness to him, you are called. Called to glory. Called to virtue. Called to holiness. Called to be saints, Romans 8:30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation. That's you this morning. A royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God didn't make a mistake when he called you. That doesn't mean your calling is going to be easy. First Peter 2:19 and 21 says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, like Joseph was, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God, for even hereunto were ye called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, so that not if, but when suffering enters your life, you'll handle it patiently and you'll say, God, I don't know why. I can't see your plan. I have no idea why I am in the middle of this suffering and why you've placed me here. But God, I know it's for your glory is going to be used. So whatever it's for, thy will be done. Give me the patience to endure it. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And what is God's purpose? 1 John 4:14, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Revelations 5:9, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. God's purpose for sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to earth was to die on the cross and to take the sins of the whole world upon him, to reconcile us to the Father, to make a way for us to enter into heaven clean and forgiven. God's purpose that he works, Romans 8:28, toward, and each and every one of our lives, is that regardless of what has happened to us, good or bad, God can and will use that to reach other people with the gospel. I don't care what has happened to you and what you've been through. If someone gets saved and doesn't have to burn in hell forever because of your testimony, what you went through led to them being saved, that's a good day. Amen. Yep. On November the 16th, 2004, a semi ran a red light and crushed my body 3.5 weeks before my wedding day. The most intense pain I have ever experienced in my life. And God, Romans 8:28ed it. The delivery technician in the medical supply company that came to deliver and set up my hospital bed at my aunt's house, as he was busy bringing it in and putting it together there, my aunt came over to the chair I was propped up in pain and whispered to me, honestly, that was the last thing on my mind. What was on my mind is, let me get in this comfortable bed so I stop being in pain from my broken hip, 5 broken ribs, fractured pelvis in 2 places, and uncomfortableness everywhere. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't thinking of that man's soul. I was having a pity party, pity party. My aunt came over and said, you sign for it, and you talk to him about Jesus. And as she walks away with a smile on her face, I'm like, yeah, she's right. Okay, we're going to do this. I'm not in a mood to be gracious, though, Lord. Just bear with me and do my best. He got done, and I motioned to him to come over and sit down beside me. I pulled the newspaper article of my car accident. I made the news out of my Bible, and I showed the man the picture of my car. And I pointed to that picture and I said, do you think the person in that car could have made it? He looked back at me and said, no way. I said, I was the driver of that car. His mouth dropped open. I said, I've been working in the Chicagoland area for the last 5.5 years. I was following the law. I had a green light. I was the second car through. He ran a red light. I said, you drive in the Chicagoland area. I said, you don't know if the very next red light you get out from this house, if you go down to this house, this red light, you don't know if the semi is going to run it, is going to crush you. And if it does crush you and kill you, were you 100% sure you're going to go to heaven? He says, no, I'm not. I opened my Bible and I walked him down the Romans Road. And that man bowed his head and accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior. And as he walked away, the smile on his face, and went to get in his truck to go live his life, the Holy Spirit convicted me because I was only thinking about me. And he brought to my mind this thought. The worst pain I've ever had, by the way. It was a 10. I feel like I'm a pretty good pain guy, Danny. I'm not maybe as, you know, crazy as you with some of your thoughts on that, but I feel like my pain tolerance is high, and I hit a 10 there in the intensive care room and needed some morphine. I just needed some help. Most intense pain I've ever had and ever experienced in my life. Was God using the accident for correction? Yes, absolutely, but God can work in mysterious ways at the same time. He can accomplish more than one thing at one time. Multitasking. And I had this thought when he left. My aunt peeked her head into the room and I gave her a thumbs up and she gave a big smile and she walked away. And I thought, you know, as bad as the pain and the anguish and the discomfort that I have faced over the past couple of weeks, it pales when compared to the suffering that people are experiencing this very moment in the fires of hell. And I said this to the Lord. I said, God, if the only reason you put me through this car accident and the suffering that came with it was to help save this man from the sufferings of hell, it was worth it. God, Romans 8:28ed it. He activated Romans 8:28 in my car accident that day, and several others. He's Romans 8:28 that car accident multiple times. There is a ton of good that has come out of that accident in my life and others. Like the air conditioning we are enjoying this morning is because of November 16th, 2004. God allowed me to use some money from the car accident to buy the air conditioners that's keeping us cool. Who knew? You didn't know Romans 8:28 was being activated through the air conditioning through a car accident that hit your pastor back in November 16, 2004? God sure does work in mysterious ways. He said, all right, let me see. I need to straighten this guy out. So I really got to get his attention because he's hard-headed. A semi should do it. That'll help turn them around. All right, what else can we do? Okay, well, you know what? I'm gonna have George make sure that on his run that day he comes and sets up the hospital bed for this stubborn man, and then I'm gonna make sure, you know, I'm gonna touch his aunt's heart because he's hard-headed and hard-hearted. We'll touch his aunt's heart about this man's soul, and she'll whisper to him, and we'll get the gospel to this guy, and I'm going to have the gospel presented to that man so he can accept me as Savior that day. And, you know, seven years down the road, he's become the pastor of Victory Baptist Church in Sealands Grove. And those air conditioning units in the attic, we're going to need to replace those. All right, so we're going to have his insurance company give him some money so we can You don't know what all is being used by God for the suffering you went through. I don't even know. God may have used the accident to get the owner of the trucking company and his truck driver right with him too. They were both Christian men. That Christian owner was a repair business, and trucking companies would give them their trailers to fix, and he was fixing them and then keeping them longer to use them for a couple runs to make some money off the side using their trailers and their insurance. Maybe God wanted to wake him up too. All right, I need a semi-truck, and yeah, that hard-headed guy right there. Put him in the path. We'll fix him, we'll fix him, we'll fix him, we'll fix that. Look how many things God fixed by breaking some bones in Rob Rhines. I'm hard-headed. It takes a lot sometimes to wake me up. Sometimes I don't listen to the still small voice. And God's not mocked. And whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And he's going to get your attention. Listen when he does this. When he touches your heart and says, hey, I need to talk to you about something. Are you willing to let God activate Romans 8:28 in your life this morning? To work through the pain and suffering that you have experienced in your life, to see another life accept Jesus Christ as their Savior? To use the pain and suffering you've experienced in your life to help someone else through the pain and suffering in their life? To use the good and blessings in your life to see another life accept Jesus Christ as their Savior? Joseph was willing to use not only the pain and suffering in the prison, but also the blessing and good as second in command of Egypt that God brought into his life later on for God's glory and purpose. Let me just say, if you can use the suffering for God's glory, he can trust you to use the blessings for his glory too. Joseph didn't let suffering stop him from serving God. And Joseph didn't let blessings stop him from serving God. What's stopping you? Activate Romans 8:28. And let God work it together for good. He will make everything beautiful in his time. Bow our heads and close our eyes this morning.